Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I want to thank the church for letting me come back again. I don't know why y'all asked me, to be honest with you. It just amazes me that I get to come stand behind this pulpit where so many good men have come and preached the Word of God. And I appreciate the invitation that you've given me and letting me be part of this little portion of this week. You'll get to hear some good preaching tomorrow now. Brother Doug always comes with something to say. And I love Brother Doug. The Lord began to deal with me tonight about tonight. He had already confirmed it in my heart what I would say. And I normally don't do this, make you turn to so many scriptures, but I will ask you first of all to take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, when we get to 1 Timothy chapter 4, that should encourage you. It means I'm almost done. So when I get to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and if I tell you to turn there and you say amen, then I know I failed. That will be the last thing we see. But if you'll just mark that with your finger, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're coming there last. But I want to start in 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. This is where the Lord placed my heart tonight in the Scriptures. And I believe that I'm right on target with where the Lord wants to Westside Baptist Church. I believe I am on target. And Brother Dave kind of took the words away from me that I said last night, and then he come in tonight and just kind of capped it again, that don't get so interested in who's not here. Because God knows who he wanted here. God knows who was coming. He knows all that. And you said, well, it was just by chance that I showed up. I had to do this or do that. No, you're here on a divine appointment. And God's going to speak the words that he wants to say to who he wants to hear it tonight. He will do that tonight. 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. I want to preach on this subject, and I want you to listen to this subject intently because it might be your lifeline. I've prayed about this all day. This, what I'm going to tell you tonight, I have no idea. I haven't talked with Brother Doug. I have no idea what he will say. But as the Lord dealt with me last night, very personal about you. Actually, Brother Dave, it was Sunday at 11:48 your time. I was sitting in my office. We were in Sunday school. It was 10:48 my time, and God spoke to me specifically about the message I preached last night to Westside Baptist Church. And then here we are again tonight, and I believe we have another divine appointment. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to you. And what I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm going to say it again, it just might be the lifeline of Westside Baptist Church. Not that there's by no means any failure in leadership. Everybody knows, Brother Melvin knows, that he's a straight shooter. And we don't worry about leadership skills here. But what I'm going to tell you could be a lifeline to you. Whether it be now or whether it be in the future. It could be that the Lord is fixing to take a life ring and throw it out to you as a ministry in the ocean and let you survive. And the Lord's dealt with me that way today. And when I tell you what it is, everybody's a majority will just overlook what I say and will agree with me because you're American Baptist and you've been raised in the Bible Belt and we know so much about God but yet so little. And what I'm going to say is so simple, but yet I don't think we've really scratched the surface of what Brother Partain's fixing to tell you. Here's what I want to preach on tonight, and listen to this subject. What happens when the Word of God becomes the ruler of your church ministry? Are you listening to that? What happens when the Word of God becomes ruler in this church's ministry? You say, nah, we're way ahead of you, preacher. The Word of God's been our shield and salvation for years. Well, I know we say stuff like that, but oftentimes in a successful ministry, if you're not careful, not that it's happened here by no means, Brother Melvin, but if you're not careful, the Word of God is a substitute for our services at times and not the main thing. And the Word of God is vitally important. Let me just explain it to you like this. I would like to leave tonight and have encouraged the church to invest into eternal things rather than temporal things. You see, nobody, William, has a better music program probably than you in this town. But music is temporal. What do you mean by that, Brother Carl? The music will fade. I love music. I've made a living making music. I've made a living singing music. My children are being raised in the music ministry. I'm not against music, but music is a temporal thing. I can get in my car, put on a CD, and get what we call Holy Ghost filled. I mean, boy, just woo, praise the Lord. But then as my day progresses, the song quits, and it is over, and it will not satisfy me the next day. And then again, if I listen to it so many times, it'll become old to me, and it will not satisfy me within months from now. Music is temporal. I had to teach that to my church. When I first took my church that I'm pastoring now, going into my almost my 5 years of being there, but when I came there, they had let a group of a man come in that wanted all the young people to get really invested in music, and that music was their God. I mean, everything that they done was centered around music and not the Word of God. And Brother Partain's been spending nearly 5 years or nearly 4 years taking them and building a church upon God's Word. Why are you doing that, Brother Carl? Because music is a temporary thing. It's a temporary fix for your problem. And music will fade. I hate to tell you this, but you should have been in church long enough to know this. Fellowship. Music will fade, and fellowship will fail. Those that you started with, where are they? Those that said, we're behind you, brother, well, tell me where they are. What are you saying, Brother Carl? When it comes to ministry, when it comes to church ministry, fellowship will fail. People will come, people will go. People that you had confidence in will come, and you just knew that they was going to work out. This is the greatest thing since peanut butter, and then all of a sudden, they're gone. Why are you saying that, Brother Carl? Because it's a temporal thing. Fellowship's good, but fellowship fails. I even thought about leadership. Leadership comes, leadership goes, leadership will cease. Men blow in and blow out. We're living in that day. Oh, Brother Melvin ain't blowed in and out, has he? He's been here for 157 years. Oh, Brother Melvin, you either love him or hate him, right? But there's preachers today, the statistic says 17 months is as long as a normal Baptist preacher will stay. He runs in and runs out. We change pastors like we change socks. We run them through like a McDonald's drive-through or a herd of cows going. That's how we treat pastors today. Leadership will cease. Leadership is temporal. Men and women will come and go. Buildings will come and fade and go. These things are temporal. Meetings will change. They'll change. You'll like me for a little while. I'll eventually get old to you, and then nobody will call me. I'll pout for a solid year, and eventually I'll get over it that nobody had me back. But meetings change. People change. Circumstances change. There'll be a time to where you don't have no need for me. You'll be in another season, and you'll need another type preacher. That happens. It changes because meetings are temporal. But could I give you some good news tonight? What you are holding in your hand is eternal. When the music has faded away, when leadership has come and gone, when all the men and women that said they was for you is now against you and they're gone, and when fellowship has failed, and when the buildings come and go, and when the meetings change, you better mark her down. The Word of God abides forever. When the flower fades, when the grass withers, the Word of God will still be here. And that's what you build your ministry on. And if Westside Baptist Church would get to that point, not that you haven't already, not that you haven't now, but starting Sunday, if everybody in this church would get their mind stayed on the Word of God, and every avenue, every committee, every board, every program centers around the Word of God, Westside will change forever. Because it's eternal. You want to know why churches fail? Because churches surround their ministry on temporal things. And when the music stops and when the harps are hung on the willow trees, everybody wonders where God's at. No, I'll tell you what happened. God's right where you left him, but you built your ministry on temporal things and not eternal things. We've got to get our foundation built on eternal things. We've got to get our young people built on eternal things. That's a big area, I think, where us Baptists are failing. We think if we drop our standards and drop our Bibles and let our kids start listening to different things and go in different places and be around their own crowd, that maybe they can learn some things. There ain't nothing your teenagers need any better than sitting down on the front bench of a Baptist church and let a man of God preach the devil out of them. Somebody say amen. That's all our children need. We don't need to change programs and change things and try to switch things around to see if it'll work and drop our merits and our standards and challenge them to do something else. Oh no! Oh no! All they need is the Word of the living God. If the Word of God ever gets in a young person's heart, you ain't got to do nothing else for them. If the Word of God, which is eternal, bursts them into the family of God, you ain't got to beg them to stay around. You ain't got to invite Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck down here. You ain't got to have Chuck E. Cheese downstairs. Oh, no. You ain't got to do all that. When the Word of God is birthed in their heart, it's eternal, and it'll change them forever. Every ministry of this church, what happens, preacher? Tell me, what happens when the Word of God becomes ruler in our ministry? I'm going to show it to you. In 2 Thessalonians, in verse chapter number 3, verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. He had a prayer request. And here's the prayer request that he's asked. It's Wednesday night prayer request time, and he has stood up and said, I've got a prayer request. And he gives two things that he wants them to pray for. Watch this. Pray for us that the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, watch this, may have free course. Are you seeing that? Number one, free course. That was their first prayer request. Hey, we want the word of God to have free course in our lives. Watch this. Free course, and we want the word of God to be glorified even as it is with you. Now let me break these two things down for you. You're going to really be interested in it. What does it mean when the word of God has free course in your life? Here's what it literally means. Course means to run. In other words, it's what runs you. It's what keeps you going. The word of God is the free course that keeps you running. It's like gas to an engine. It's like water to a boat. It's like wind, if you would, to a windmill. It's what simply keeps you running and keeps you going. You say, well, I like music. I do too. I love to hear music. I live around music. I hear music in my house all day long. I have to tell Becca and Drew and Ivy and all them other little rugrats to shut up. I'm tired of hearing singing. It's always like that at my house. Singing. Our family, it revolves around that singing stuff. But I'm telling you, the family's got to be built on the Word of God. Let the Word of God have free course in your life. Is what makes you run. You say, well, I just can't hang on. I just can't stay in church. Then I'm going to tell you what's happened. The Word of God's not number one in your life. You come in, bounce in here on a Sunday morning. They sing a good heart-wrenching song. Makes you cry and you feel good and you're ready to go. But then you come in on Sunday night and nobody sings really well. And William sings off key and forgets to put batteries in the microphone and nothing's going well. How are we going to survive, Brother Carl? I'll never be able to survive till next Sunday. You won't be able to survive till next Sunday when music is your number one. But when the Word of God that is hid down in your heart becomes number one in your life, you'll survive even when the music ain't playing. Is somebody with me at Westside? Say amen. When the Word of God becomes free course in your life, it runs you. It's what motivates you. It's what keeps you going. And then he said two prayer requests. Pray that the Word of God be free course in my life and that the Word of God be glorified. It simply means to praise, to extol, to magnify. But here it is in Sand Mountain, Alabama language. The Word of God becomes number one in your life. Hey, young people that barely hanging on coming to church over here, you get the Word of God in your heart, you ain't got to have none of that other stuff. I'm convinced of it. It's an eternal thing. It is eternal. It's not temporal. It is eternal. It'll last forever. It'll last more. It'll last longer than double mint gum. Are you hearing me? It will last longer. The Word of God abideth forever. So, Brother Carl, what happens when the Word of God has free course and it rules me and it's number one and I center my whole Christian life around the precious Word of God? Watch this. And verse number two. That we may be delivered. That we may be delivered. The Word of God, when it runs you, when it has free course in your life, it will deliver you. Well, I'm just going through some things. You know, that's, I think sometimes that can be a Pentecostal term. We need to be delivered. Are you with me? But that's all right. We, us Baptists, can use it too because it's in the Bible. Some of you need to be delivered from some things. Some of you need some deliverance. Some of you need some deliverance in your marriage. Some of you need some deliverance in your finances. Some of you just need some deliverance in how faithful you are to the house of God. Some of you need some deliverance with your children. Some need deliverance with certain areas in your life that are very private and you can't discuss. How do I get delivered, Brother Carl? The Word of God, that is eternal. If you'll center your life around the precious Word, it will deliver you. It'll deliver you. That phrase in the King James, may be delivered. It simply means this, it will rescue you. Deliver means rescue. Some of you need rescue tonight. Some of you's about that far from quitting. I'm fixing to hang her up, boys. I'm done. I've gone as far as I can go. You just don't know. Brother Melvin don't know. Brother Alton don't know. None of these other leaders know. But I'm about to quit. I'm about done. And the Word of God tonight, if you make it free course in your life, it will deliver you. It will rescue you. But watch this. So unique. So unique. It lists three things, Brother Alton, right there in the Scriptures that deliver me from. Watch this. This is kind of strange. He said, may be delivered three things. Unreasonable men, wicked men, and faithless men. Are you seeing that in that scripture? And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The Word of God will deliver you. Deliver me from what, Brother Carl? It'll deliver you from unreasonable people. He's got to be talking about the Baptists when he said that. Unreasonable people. Don't that sound like Baptists to you? Unreasonable people. What does that mean, Brother Partain? When he says unreasonable, it's people that are out of their place. People that will come into this church, try to draw you out of place, and harm you. It's happening today. There's a dark cloud that's a creeping into our Baptist churches, and it's filtering into our young people, and it's filtering into our young married, and it's trying to get our church to flip the page and do something different. Listen, it don't matter how many people you can pack in here. If you've not packed them in here for the right reason, you've headed the wrong direction. The Word of God is what's eternal, and it will deliver you from those unreasonable, out-of-place people. Young people in here just can't seem to get a hold of it. What happens? You come to church, get a little feel-good service. Your heart gets a little glorified and sanctified, and then you have to go to school where a bunch of wicked people are. And you have to go hang around people that are wicked. And then all of a sudden, your heart's changed. And you have to come back to the altar on Sunday because everything's changed in your heart. Hey, let's not pick on the young people too much. Us adults do it too. We come in, get a little Jesus on Sunday. And then Monday morning, we're winking and flirting with a lady down at the job site. Are you listening to me tonight? That's unreasonable people. If you'll center your life on the Word of God, you'll get delivered from unreasonable people. Can't seem to live it, Brother Carl, getting the Word of God. Can't seem to get past that sin, getting the Word of God. I think we need to get back to some accountability in our churches. Accountability. What do you mean by that, Brother Carl? I don't have my cell phone with me. It's out in the car. But old Drew and Ivy, Becca, Waverly, is that all the ones that's got cell phones? I pay a whopping bill every month, buddy. I'm telling you, it's rough, Dave. I need you to send me some money every month. Make me a missionary or something. Them cell phone bills is going up as them kids. And I got eight of them, man. It's going to get worse. It just keeps going and going. One finally graduates and gets off of my plan. Another one takes it. I mean, I've got so many cell phones that they ask me if I want to go to a group plan. For my business. I said, honey, I ain't got a business. I'm a family man. Well, we can add you 10 lines, Mr. Partey. And I said, I'll need them later. No doubt, I'll need them later. Accountability. Everything Brother Partey does on that cellular device, my wife knows about it. She does. We've got a program that has taken the place of our phones and has tied them up to where whatever I do on that internet or whatever I do on this and that, my wife sees what Brother Partey does. And I see what she does. And we see what they do. You know what? That's just not none of their... When my child turned 16, we just kind of let them be their own judge. Somebody find me a mature 16-year-old. I'd like to see that. Huh? Are you with me? Just because the government said that they can drive at 16 don't mean mom and daddy need to. You say, well, I know, we'll run them down there and get them a learner's license and we'll run down there and put them behind a wheel at 16. Sometimes they're not mature enough to do that. And that's up to mom and daddy to be the judge, not the government. When they're 18, they become an adult in Georgia. When they're 19, they're an adult in Alabama. No joke, you have to wait to 19 over there. I don't guess they mature as fast over there. But that's up to mama and daddy where they're mature or not. We need some accountability. It would save our churches if we had some accountability. It would save some of you teenagers if you knew your mom and daddy had an eyeball on what you was doing. You wouldn't go near as many places on that phone. Are you with me? Accountability. I'll just do a little advertising. CovenantEyes.com. Go ahead, log up to it, mom and daddy. And when that little 15-year-old brat says, I don't like you prying into my business, you take that hand right there, and that's as far as I'm going with that. Just in case there's a DHR worker in here. Accountability. It'll save your son's life, ma'am. It'll save your daughter's life, sir, to get some accountability. Hey, wife, it'll save your marriage. Husband, it'll save you because we're living in a generation that is wicked. Accountability. Now, I did come to Drew. He's 20 years old. And I said, son, me and mama's got a program. And I explained it to him. I said, son, I feel like that everybody needs some kind of accountability. See, you pay your own bill. You do your own thing. Nobody knows anything you're doing on that phone, and I don't think you're doing anything bad, but boy, I'm going to leave it up to you. And he said, Daddy, sign me up. I want somebody accountable for me. Because, buddy, when you're a man of God, TJ, when you're preaching the Word of God, the devil will infiltrate anything he can to tear your mind down. And we need some accountability. I don't know why I said all that, but there you go. The Word of God, it'll deliver you from these things. It'll deliver you from unreasonable people. But then it said it's going to deliver me from wicked people. That's simply people who are troublesome, who are an annoyance in your life. The Bible just said, I'll deliver you from it. And then he said, I'm going to deliver you from faithless people because everybody ain't got faith, the Bible just said. Ones who don't believe in truth, ones who don't have any confidence in this ministry. The Bible said, if you'll center your life around the Word of God, I'll deliver you from those people that have no confidence in this church when it's centered around God's Word. Huh? You see, I told you. I told you when I started preaching it. That some of you would say, oh, we know that, Brother Carl, the Word of God, we know that, we know. We've been taught that all of our lives, we know that. The Word of God ought to be number one, but is the Word of God number one? We talk about it, but we ain't a-doing it. Is the Word of God number one in our ministries? Is it? Then number two, not only will it deliver you, but it will discipline you. The Bible said that the Word of God, and we ain't got the Timothy scripture yet, but I'm almost there. Good news for you. The Bible says this right here. The Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. That means it's energized. And it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I got that wrong, TJ. I've been preaching that wrong for years. I have. I've been thinking, it ain't the sword that I got wrong. The sword is two-edged. But I have used that statement from the pulpit. I tell you what, that Word of God, it'll cut you going in. It'll cut you coming out, as if to indicate that I was doing the stabbing. The preacher with the Word. And I never got cut. Are you with me? That's what it indicated. That Brother Partain was cutting everybody else, and it was cutting you going in, cutting you when I pulled out with the Word of God. But Brother Partain never got cut until I started pastoring. Then I realized, Brother Alton, it wasn't me doing this. Now, when you evangelize, you can do that. Cut. Get your check, go get in the car, and go to the house. Cut. Boy, but when you're a pastor, if all you do is cut, you'll have a bunch of dead people in your aisle. That's right. Got a bunch of blood you're going to have to clean up. But I learned this. Drew, stand up a minute. I learned this right here. When I'm in love with my congregation, it cuts us both. It cuts us going in. When I'm in love, now when I'm not in love, I can, Word of God, But when I love my people, and I got them like this, and I'm in love with them, and they're in love with me, and I'm trying to stab, and I'm going, oh, that's hurting me too. Ow! Oh, it is cutting going in. Ow, it's cutting going out. When you're in love, when you pastor and you love somebody, it changed your life. I found out that the Word of God is sharp, that the Word of God is powerful, that the Word of God is alive. It is quick, and it will cut you deep. But if you have a true pastor's heart, it'll cut you both. People that you love, at one side's getting them and at the other side's getting me. I've heard my daddy say it. You've heard it said before. When I'm pointing my finger at you, I have more fingers pointing back at me than is you. And that's the idea. This Word of God is quick. If this ministry was built around God's holy Word, there's no telling what it would do in Noonan, Georgia, because ain't nobody building their ministries around the Word of God anymore. You would almost be the only one. Don't tell anybody, but you would almost be one of the only ones building a ministry around the Word. Most of your churches around here have gone to building their ministries around music, or how pretty they can make their building, or how short they can get their services out so people will be pleased and appeal to them so they'll come on Sunday mornings and get out by 11:30. And we've dropped to man's standards, and we give them a little bit and piece of the Word of God and a good poem and send them out the door so they won't get mad. You listen to me. That will make a ministry fail. Spiritually fail. But it seems like they're thriving. They're thriving. But it's no more than a social club. It's no more than an organization that mentions Jesus occasionally. It's just a club that they're part of. You listen to me. You want this church to thrive. You'll build it around God's precious Word. It's the only thing that'll make it survive. It might be your lifeline, Brother Dave. It might be Westside Baptist Church Lifeline tonight. You might be drowning and you need the Lord to throw you a lifeline. And the preacher's come along today and said, hey, I found a lifeline. It's called the Word of God. And it will pull you out of things you've never been pulled out of before. Because the Word of God is sharp than a two-edged sword. It even said, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. It has the ability to pierce deep. It's what it's saying. A lot of people misread that. It didn't say it's dividing the soul from the spirit. It didn't say it's dividing the joints from the marrow. No, it says it has the ability to divide asunder soul and spirit. We're not dividing them. Where they're separate entities, soul and spirit, joints and marrow. In other words, the more we open up to the Word of God, the more we let the Word of God pierce us, the deeper we let it go and reign in our life, the more things will change here. Most churches today are not centered around the Bible. Oh, no. Not centered around the Word of God. The preacher's normally the last thing that takes place on a Sunday morning service, and probably today, the most ineffective. We affect more people with music today than we do the Word of God. They'll come to a good singing. Go ahead, have one of your big groups down here and say, we're going to have a big Saturday night singing. They'll stay here till 1 o'clock in the morning just to hear somebody sing. But tell them some old-fashioned preacher's going to come and preach. Won't nobody show up. You know why? Our priorities are wrong. We're trying to invest our children and our grandchildren into temporal things that will fail. You need to build it on the Word of God. It's the only thing that's going to last, Brother Dave. It's the only thing that's going to last. You say, well, I'm having a problem with my mind. My mind's killing me. Well, I got good news for you. This verse ends by saying, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That Word of God will go down in your mind. Hey, let me just put it like this. It'll drive you crazy. It'll go down to the mental capacity of yourself and turn your mental mind around. It'll turn you around. The Word of God. It'll deliver you, William. It will discipline you, ma'am. It'll discipline you, sir. But then lastly, let me go to, are you getting excited? Somebody say amen if you're excited now. I said lastly. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It'll deliver you. It'll discipline you. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Oh, please listen to this. It will disciple you. The Word of God, imagine this now, discipling you. The Word of God being the one that's guiding and leading and teaching you. Discipling you. Meaning that it will teach you the truth. Not man-made laws. Not what the brethren have made up over the years. But what thus saith the Lord. It will disciple you. Now I thought this was very interesting. When we come to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. This was really strange to me. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Let me show you verse number 5 first, and then we're going to read the other verses. For, this means a conjunction word, which means it's butting into a story. So we're going to go back and catch the other verses, but I just want you to see this to show you that I'm still on the line here. Here we go. For it is sanctified by the Word of God. What's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer? I'm going to show you. Two things. And I'll just say it to you like this. Marriage and meals. You don't understand it right now, but you will in a minute. Two things the Word of God's fixing to sanctify and prayer. Marriage and meals. You ain't going to believe it. I know, watch. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That means, listen up, boys. He's got something he wants to say. Amen. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Watch what they were doing. Forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. I don't know what you call that over here in Noonan, but over in Fort Payne, Alabama, we call that shacking up. Are y'all all right? Y'all act nervous tonight or something. Dave's back in town and y'all just act nervous. Shacking up. Forbidding to marry. That's the kind of generation we're living in. But the Bible is absolutely for marriage. Holy matrimony between one man and one woman. Somebody say amen. How can you say that with such boldness, Brother Carl? Because the Word of God sanctified it. And sanctified means it's made it pure. It's made it free from guilt. It's been sanctified. The Word of God sanctifies marriage. Now, for all you vegetable eaters and possum lovers, are you with me? The ones that hug trees and help bears across the road and don't eat any meat, you might want to leave now. Because there's something else that the Word of God sanctified. Are you ready? I can't wait to tell you this because I love sausage and bologna and bacon and all that stuff, steak and T-bones and all that meat. You say, well, it's going to kill you. You ain't going to believe what I'm fixing to read. And here's just some Bible. Here's what they were doing. They were commanding, they were forbidden to marry, but they were commanding to abstain from meats. That's what you call today a vegetarian. You even have vegetarian menus now. It's the going green menu. It's a wonder every one of us ain't got the scars. Are you with me? If you don't raise animals, you don't know what that is. Green this, green that, leafy this, leafy that. Because it's going to cure us from all kind of diseases. Are you listening to me? They were commanded that we abstain from meats. Watch this. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. He said, hey, boys, if you know the truth, you'll eat meat. And buddy, I've studied it out. It's all right to eat meat. It's all right to eat meat. God put them animals down here to eat. Didn't put them down here to pet and fluff. Well, don't eat your cat and dog, but that pet hog, amen. He put them down here to eat. That's the ones that know the truth. Watch verse number 4. Watch this, sister. For every creature of God is good. He said everything, didn't he? I ain't tried any cat, but I'm willing if anybody want to give her a cat up. He said everything. Everything of God is good. Every creature and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. It's all right to eat meat if you'll receive it with thanksgiving. You say, well, that meat now, I heard it was causing all kind of diseases. Well, if you'll say the blessing. But most of the time we think about that about halfway when the steak is about half gone. Oh, we've gotten prayed, blood dripping outside your mouth. Well, you've already got a disease, friend. Thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for my food. I thank you for letting me have this piece of meat. And if a little widow lady brings you just very little that she's got, and it might not look any good and may have a little mold on it, just thank the Lord for it. I had to do that. Brother Majeski. Brother Majeski was a Polak. I mean, literally, he was. Brother Majeski was a nasty man. He was known in our town as a nasty man. But he come to church, and he had come to church so stinky and sweaty and smelly. I mean, he wouldn't, I'm not exaggerating. He had a wife, and a daughter that was a handicapped, and he wouldn't let them bathe but once a week. And he got the first bath, then they had to follow him in the same water. That happened. And he had come to church. Oh, Lord. I mean, some of my deacons just get out, not where I'm pastoring now, but where I pastored first time I'd pass. I mean, it was bad. I mean, they'd go in Sunday school and the whole Sunday school room would just be fermented. And he was a mean man. He was mean. He had a mean spirit about him. But one Sunday night, here he comes. Hey, preacher, I need to ask you something. I said, yes, sir, Mr. Majeski. He said, I want to take all your kids down to McDonald's. I'm going to buy you a meal tonight. All your kids, I want them all to go to McDonald's. I said, And in my heart, I was thinking, no, Lord. I mean, Lord, you want me to go with the Majeskis? I looked at my wife, and she had that look on her face. My crazy kids were saying, let's go, Daddy! Let's go to McDonald's! Woo! And I was saying, you're going to get a whooping when you get home. But I remember getting in that McDonald's, literally. We sat at the window, and my church members would ride around and stare at us. And they'd blow the horn and go, they did, William. It'd be like something your brothers would do. Sticking their tongues out. They did that. Some teenagers laughing. Mr. Majeski whooped out his pocket knife. He wouldn't let us order. He said, y'all eat hamburgers? No, it is. He went up there and ordered several single hamburgers, a few fries and some drinks. And he said, the kids are going to have to split the hamburgers. And buddy, he pulled out that pocket knife and went whack. And it was as black as that bench right there. And he started cutting them hamburgers in two with that knife. And when he'd get done with one, he'd go. And when he got done with the last one, he took that white napkin and he rubbed that knife off. And when I saw that napkin, it was as black as it could be. I'm looking at my wife. She's looking at me. The kids don't care. They're just glad to have something to eat. And I thought, what are we going to do? What'd you do, Brother Partain? I said, dear God, let's ask the blessing. We're going to die from a disease, Lord. And I ask thanksgiving. You see, if it's received right, it'll be right in your body. I believe that with all my heart. If it's received right. You say, well, doctor told me. Well, you know how you say the blessing sometimes? We just do it so repetitious now. Lord, thank you for this day, and I brought this food in Jesus' name, pray, man. Huh? No thanksgiving, no tenderness of our heart, nothing. My daddy, it don't matter where you're at, he'll say, hey, y'all kids be quiet. Papa gonna say the blessing. he'll stand up and he'll say, "Our Heavenly Father." I mean, no matter where you're at, he's going to say something. And boy, he'll begin to pour out his heart. And I've heard him cry. I've heard him say, "Lord, you've been good to my family. Lord, I thank you for the meal that you provided." And it came from his heart with thanksgiving. And honey, when it's received, it's sanctified. How's it sanctified? Did I tell you what we was talking about? By the Word of God. God spoke it, so it's sanctified. I have been to Arizona, to Rawhide's restaurant, to where they served fried rattlesnake. Tastes like chicken. They put the spine on the nuggets when they bring it out, the spine of the snake. They put it alongside them nuggets. Raw spine right there. Not raw. I think it's clean. But did you eat it? Every bit of it. And ask for more. Because every creature of God's good. Are you with me? Huh? Hey, I showed it to you in the Word of God. Now you're disputing the Word of God now. Are you with me? Every creature, as long as it's received, thanksgiving in your heart. You see, what did you go through all them stories for? To prove a point. The Word of God will disciple you. Not man that says, "Well, you just ought not do that." Ask God. "Well, I've been told." Well, it don't matter who told you. What does the Bible say? We have built our lives on what men has told us instead of what the Bible says. And if you'll get back, I say get back, Brother Melvin, not meaning that y'all went anywhere. I'm just speaking in general to churches. If our churches would get back to loving this, there's no telling what would happen at Westside Baptist. It's little things that happen, Brother Alton, when the Word of God rules and reigns in your church ministry. We might need to get back to God's precious Word. Well, that puts a big responsibility on you, Brother Melvin. Brother Alton, that puts a big responsibility on your shoulders because you're the deliverer of the Word. TJ, puts a big heap load on your shoulders, buddy. You and Drew, y'all preachers. You a preacher? Yeah. 4 years now. I think you told me 4 years almost. 2 years, 3 years. Look here. Big responsibility right here sitting on these boys. You know why? They're the deliverer of what we need to center around. And the Bible said if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Every avenue needs to be built around the Word. I think, I'm positive in my heart that I've done exactly what God told me to do the last two nights. Amen. Now listen, that's all I can do. I'll get in my car in a minute. Stop by and get the kids, well, me too, a meat sandwich just as high as I can pile it. I like to go to Firehouse Subs because they put plenty of meat on my sub sandwich. All you Subwayers, that little thin meat, and then they stack the rest of it with vegetables. Oh, man. I can't get back on that, but I'll get in my car and I'll go home in just a little bit. And as far as I know, unless anything changes, this is the last meeting I'll hold this year. I didn't schedule anything for December in the week of Thanksgiving. I will not start back till January. And this is it for me. And I'm going to go back home and I'll begin my pastorate and doing my job. But listen, what I left here on the table, you're going to have to digest it. Don't overlook what Brother Partain said the last two nights. Don't overlook, don't just leave tonight and say, hey, that was good. Thank you, Brother Partain. And then go home, go to bed, watch TV, and then forget about everything I said. You've got to center your life around the Word of God. Every part of this ministry, of this church, every single part has got, it can't center around the preacher. It's got to center around the Word of God, which is delivered by the preacher. Are you with me? Number one, free course. It runs you. It runs your life. It runs your family. It runs your business. It runs your church. That's where you're going to grow, right there. And if you don't obey that, you don't digest that, I'll go on with my business. This is what I teach to my church. I've preached this to my church. I'm not preaching you something I don't live and preach to my own people. This is something I preach to my people, to my family. And if you don't digest that, you might not ever grow to the capacity that the Lord wants Westside Baptist Church to be. I want you to think about that hard. Hard. The Word of God. Brother Dave, would you get us something? While Brother Dave's getting us a little song here to sing, you know, I really pray that there were some people at Westside Baptist Church that would come down here and say something to God about tonight's message. When's the last time you just got an altar, sir, and said, God, I want that. I want the Word of God to be number one. You say, well, I believe it, and I'll just sit right here on my bench. I believe it. I'm believing it right now. I don't have to come down there. Yeah, but when you come, it just does something for you. When you publicly acknowledge that you need God, it'll do something for your heart and life. Drew, sing us something there, son. Stand up with us all over the house. Let's be sensitive to the Lord and what He'd have us to do today. Be very sensitive to the Lord. Very sensitive to the Lord.
Satisfied with me. have forever removed all my sin, and now the Maker of heaven and earth calls me friend, and from the joy that brings, oh, how my spirit sings that I'm satisfied. I am satisfied. I've been cared for so faithfully. But Lord, hear my plea and may it be that you're satisfied with me. Oh Lord, be satisfied. Satisfied, oh please be satisfied, Lord, be satisfied.